welcome to another episode of the Blue Toon Podcast, your weekly unofficial podcast dedicated to all things Peterhead FC. I'm Colin Byers, and with me as ever is Martin Smith. Martin, welcome along.
Good evening.
Right, lots to get through this week. We've got two games to look back on, the league restarting, the cup game as well as two games to look forward to as well, and as well we'll also hear from Jim McAnally and a couple of the players as well. So Martin, football's back, we've been back at Balmoor, things are all looking good?
Yeah, it was just good to get back to playing football. We've missed it this last couple of months. You know, there's a lot of people out there who haven't been as fortunate as we have to get into the games, but it was nice to get in on Saturday to see Peterhead in action again.
And it was a game, I think, we kind of both thought beforehand, if we get anything out of it, i.e. a draw, would be a positive result. But as it turned out, it was more than a positive result. It ended up being a really good result.
Yeah, I think before the game would have been, as you said, we'd be quite happy with a draw, given the fact that Airdrie are full-time. There's been a lot of time without playing football, and we were fortunate enough that we came out with the 3 points in a hard-fought game.
It was hard fought, but I guess the big incident happened 4 minutes in. Reckless would be the word, I think, to sum up the red card.
Yeah, I think I'd imagine every player's the same. They're looking to make a good impression. Not only with it being his debut, but you know, being back to playing football, they're all eager to get back playing. Making his debut for Airdrie, certainly I remember it, but for the wrong reasons. It was, you know, we thought at the time it was a strong and robust challenge, but we've seen the footage back again. It's dangerous, and as you said, it's reckless as well. And thankfully, Ryan Conroy's not been seriously injured by it. But yeah, there was potential there for a serious injury, but thankfully that's not the case.
And I think I said on the day as well, the referee sort of handled it pretty well.
Yeah.
Straight away, he had his hand in his pocket. He was taking the red card out. He'd made the decision, and that kind of sort of didn't have. You sort of sometimes you worry about a referee taking too long to make a decision or waiting for his assistant to make a decision for him. But he was good. He made the decision pretty quick, but the players maybe overreacted a little bit. I can understand them. I can understand their reaction, but given that the referee had made his decision, got the red card, it maybe got a little bit unnecessary.
Yeah, you said in your commentary that the referee made a quick decision. We felt it was the right decision, but players got involved in something like that. There's a few choice words in the dugouts as well. The referee, given his credit and due, he's quick to make the decision. He looked like he got a good view of it as well. His assistant was in a good position as well. They've come to, in my opinion, the right decision. I don't think the players, you know, it's only 4 minutes into the game. There's no point getting hit up over anything. Let the referee do his job. That's what he's there to do. And, you know, I'll give him praise. He got the red card out in quick fashion. So the players knew a red card was coming. I don't think no one had to get involved in any argy-bargy.
Yeah, so I think he'll certainly remember his debut. And he certainly remembers his trip up to Peterhead. But initially before that, Peterhead had set up, we thought 4-4-1-1 almost. Jordan Brown was going to play that number 10 role just behind Isaac Lane. Nia Payne, making his long-awaited debut, was playing in the left. But you make his tactical changes after that, because for a long period of time, he went three up front.
Yeah, it was interesting. It's not a formation that we've played much of, if at all, really. Maybe play it in periods of games, but to change it, I thought it was a surprise. I know the red card happened very quickly. Sometimes there's a pressure on a team that they've got to go and score early because they're down to 10 men. There's a long way to go in the game. And I just felt we maybe try to rush things too quickly. We need to take our time more and just... You know, your passing can be a bit sharper, but I don't think we need to change much. There was no real pattern to the game. It was only 4 minutes in. So we just needed to settle into the game. I think we did that midway through the first half. But changing, I'd personally have left it the way it was and just try to feel our way into the game a bit more.
I mean, Airdrie themselves, obviously, going down to 10 men so early, they would have been quite happy just to sit back, take a point, or maybe even just sneak something, and they went 4-4-1-1, and they had everybody behind the ball at large parts of the game, particularly in the first half. We saw Jason Brown in Keenan Freeman. Sometimes they were, well within Airdrie's own half, just to try and get a bit of space. But in fairness, Airdrie did set up quite well. It was almost a case of, well, you try and break us down rather than us coming out and giving you any space. And for large parts of the game, we did kind of struggle a little bit.
Yeah, you took the words out of my mouth there. I was away to say it was almost a case of Airdrie were setting up to say, well, you've got the man advantage, you break us down. I was disappointed in the first half on Saturday with the movement from the guys up top. I felt that you could basically have thrown out a big blanket and you'd have covered the front three. I don't think they tried to stretch Airdrie as much as what they could have. It was almost, they felt like, well, if they just cross it in the box, we'll have players there. That doesn't really work. You need to try and get players in overlap and try and stretch Airdrie's defence and maybe get a runner from deep coming in the box. So I think we struggled. Jim did change it, and I think that was because we did struggle. Airdrie were quite happy and content to not sit back because I felt they were defensive, but when they did get the ball, they tried to do something with it and they caused us problems of our own. So it was important to get the win, given that they were down to 10 men. I just think they need to take their time a wee bit more. We've seen that before, that we seem to struggle at times at home in terms of we think we've got to do everything quickly. There's a long time in the game to play. So they just need to take their time, and the chances will come, but you've got to put in the effort. It's not just a case of they're down to 10, we'll win it at some point. The front three need to work that a little bit harder to create the chances.
And it was almost a typical Peterhead thing for, try to create chances as much of the ball and then Airdrie almost score just before half time when Gallagher hit the bar, which would have been, I think, harsh on Peterhead at that time.
Yeah, Airdrie didn't do much, but the chance that they had was a good chance. And obviously, as you said, it fell to Callum Gallagher, who is one of their most important, more important players. So he'll maybe be disappointed that he's not managed to score. I think we did see Josh Ray on Twitter. He was saying that he got fingertips till it. So he's claiming the save for that one. If he did get fingertips till it, it's a very, very good save. Deflecting onto the bar, but from Airdrie's point of view, they'll maybe be disappointed. It was a good chance that they've not converted it.
Yeah, and in the second half, I think the second half there was a bit more intent from Peterhead to get the ball forward a little bit quicker, and I guess as time kind of goes on as well, Airdrie get a little bit tired, almost chasing shadows for large parts of the game, and obviously not playing for a large period of time that might have played into our hands slightly as well.
Yeah, I think that is one of the big things that did come to play on Saturday was both teams, although Ayers is professional, neither team really played for 2 months. So that energy levels and fitness levels was pretty much the same for both teams. And the fact that Ayers were playing with 10 men, you could see the last 20 minutes that they were tiring a little. But we had to create our chances. And as you said, I think we did that in the second half. Freeman was more advanced as well. He was getting crosses into the box. And I just think that the front three became a two, was more spread. The chances were starting to come. Didn't create an abundance of chances, but we certainly created a couple that to give us a worthy 1-0 win, I feel.
It's a good option that switching Freeman and Bailey. It just gives you that different kind of dynamic going forward. Bailey, yeah, is okay going forward, but I think in terms of a crossing ability and perhaps beating a man one on one, I think maybe Freeman just edges it. But at the same time, Freeman also probably is more comfortable playing at the centre half.
Yeah, you're bang on. I think we've seen it a few times lately where Bailey will be in an advanced position, but I think his first thought is always maybe playing it safe and how he can get back into a defensive position, whereas Freeman's almost his first thought is he'll look inside to see if there's someone in a better place, but if not, he's quite happy to take his man on and try and get a cross in or try and get a corner or something out of it. So they've got different aspects to their game, but Kieran Freeman, he's done very well since he's come in, and he's certainly been an added bonus for us.
Irony, of course, me saying all of that is the goal came from a Kyle Bailey cross. I think it was a cross because I think it was intended to go to the back post for Jordan Brown. It didn't get there direct, but It was a poor clearance. It landed to Hamish Ritchie, and he did well to kind of find Jordan Brown in that little pocket of space.
Yeah, at that point there had been a lot of spell by Peter Hegg where we got a lot of the ball but weren't creating that many good chances. It was almost half chances when the ball fell to Hamish Ritchie, sort of thinking, is he going to take this on? And you know, either defender's going to get a block or he's going to blaze it over the bar. Jordan Brown was in a good position. Thankfully, he's seen that out the corner of his eye. He's played a good ball, good weight on the pass as well. Easy to underhit them or overhit them right into Jordan's path, and a really good, calm, composed finish into the bottom corner.
Good way to cap his 160th league appearance for Peterhead. It was a good finish, as you said, and just slotted it into the far corner. So hopefully we'll see more of those as the season progresses.
Yeah, I think especially with it being the first game back, there's that eagerness and willingness that it'd been quite easy for him to lean back, you know, and just blaze the ball wide. So, no, it was looks a simple finish, but it's one of them. You could try it, you know, 100 times and not hit the target with most of them. So, no, it was a good, composed finish. And at the time of the game as well, you just felt that the chance, that one chance, you might not get it. But thankfully, we got it and we got the 3 points for it as well.
Yeah, I think it was about 66, 67 minutes, I think.
Yeah.
It was on the clock. So, you know, in another 5 minutes, you're almost kind of into the last 15, 20 minutes and you still haven't scored. So maybe a bit of anxiety maybe would have been creeping in at that time.
Yeah, and I think that's why the chances, if they did come along, you're probably snatching at them a bit quicker, which is why I really do think the pass from Hamish Ritchie, his touch, he's played it wide to Jordan Brown. It's a good link-up from the two of them. You know, they've not played together before. So, good play from the two of them, a good finish.
And as you said, it was a spell where it was almost like it was defence against attack. You know, Airdrie couldn't really clear the lines much at all. And if it did, it was being fired straight back in again by either Bailey or Brown, who Jason Brown was getting forward. So, yeah, it was probably overall a deserved 3 points.
Yeah, I don't think we created much chances. I think Airdrie were good defensively, but maybe just edged it. But it was a very hard-fought win, and it's probably one of them you might look back at the end of the season and go, you know, you realise how big a win that was against Airdrie, and we maybe played them at the right time. Obviously, I know that they're a man down with the fitness levels as well. Yeah, that could be a massive 3 points come the end of the season.
Yeah, and as I've said at the beginning, that red card just completely changes the game for both sides. Because Airdrie probably would have been coming up here thinking a chance to get 3 points and try and keep in touch with the leaders for that championship race.
Yeah, and there was a few of the top teams before the action started on Saturday playing each other. So Airdrie would have come up thinking if they can get 3 points, you know, they're certainly in the mix. They've got a good record against Peterhead as well. So they'll probably feel after 4 minutes that it's a chance loss. But from our point of view, it's maybe 3 points. You know, you look on paper, the fixture's coming up, it's maybe one of them you would earmark. If we get a point, it's a positive result. So to get three is a bonus, but there's no point in getting that if you don't follow up with the next couple of weeks as well.
And for Josh Ray right at the end, you know, very quiet game, didn't have much to do at all. But there was a corner, I think, towards the end, or a cross certainly came in, the wind had picked up, and he came out and I think two Airdrie players around about him and took that cross in. And that's the kind of thing, if you're a defender, not necessarily a defender, but just somebody in his team that you know that if his cross is going to come in late, he's going to come and gather it. And that just gives you a little bit of a lift.
Yeah, I think he caught the ball and he sort of dropped to the floor just to waste a couple of seconds. And you've seen, you know, Jason Brown, Bailey, Freeman all around him, giving him high fives, patting him on the back. They realise how big a claim that is. It's not just claim coming for it and catching it. It's that pressure that's taken off, and you know, it wastes a good 30 seconds, 40 seconds to get his team up the park and see it out. But not the first time that Josh has done that. There's been a few times when, you know, it's been tight in the game, right at the death, he's come for the free kick or the long throw, the corners, and he's claimed it. And you know, I think it's a part of his game that he seems to enjoy doing, and he seems to do it really well at the moment as well.
Yeah, as I said, in particular, that was the time for the wind and the rain had just picked up, and the angle of the wind wasn't particularly favourable to anybody. So that, yeah, it's terrific to see somebody like that just come out and claim that kind of thing, because he could have easily not even come for it. You could just stood there and waited. But no, it just helps your defence out at no end.
Yeah, because you mentioned in the commentary and after the game as well, we seen the weather turning, but it wasn't until we'd actually come out of the stand that you realised how blustery and windy it was. So considering that at the start of the day it was a nice, calm, sunny afternoon to end it in that sort of weather, yeah, even more credit to Josh Ryan. As you said, he didn't have much to do in the game either, so his concentration level's got to be quite high, and to claim that is, yeah, it's a massive positive for the defence and for the goalkeeper.
Right, well, we're going to hear from the manager, Jim Martinelli, his thoughts on the game from Saturday.
Right, Jim, so it's a win, but I guess that's a game that kind of turned with that incident the first 2 minutes.
Well, I did say, did I say to you earlier in the week, we needed a wee break against Airdrie, and it was nearly a break in the knee cap, but I think obviously that's a massive thing to happen at the start of a game, to have that advantage, especially in a situation of, you know, being idle for so long, and it certainly gave us a big initiative, and with it particularly looking like we were going to score at times, we had good control of the game. I think obviously the time they hit the bar was the one time in 90 minutes where our goal was threatened. You know, Josh has went through the whole game without a save, which is really pleasing. We've done the basics of the game quite good, you know, defensively, and I thought we looked a fit side, and all, bearing in mind their full time, and, you know, but our fitness was good. Our final ball wasn't good enough, but, you know, I'm not complaining, because it's a brilliant result, and really, I said to the players at half time, it was like they were getting anxious because they were playing against 10 men, and they felt as though they had to go and do it quickly. I said, you don't need to do it quickly, just win it. And it's win at all costs, because at the end of the day, this is just about, you know, making sure that we can push on and pick up results, especially against a full-time team. You know, that's a game of the day where most people don't expect you to do anything. So, bearing in mind, we were three, you know, players doing. And it's a brilliant result, but the pleasing thing is that we were able to spell them a wee bit. You know,
did your game plan change any with the red cards early in the game? Did that affect how you
well,
were set
it did
up?
A wee bit, because obviously Naya's better playing in the wide areas, but because I haven't seen him in a game as such, I wanted to see if he would run in behind, because I wanted to stretch them with Isaac. But the way the game went in the first half, as you've seen Isaac and that, because we were having so many touches, they were coming back to get a touch.
Yeah.
Instead of staying away and lengthening the game, you know. So, you know, kind of the one thing I do know is that he's not a striker. You know, he's a wider player. But that's what I've said to the other guys there. I mean, bearing in mind, we've not played for 10 and 11 weeks. He's not played for...
Yeah.
You know, and you could see it. You could see it. So, I don't know that he's not a natural striker. And I mean, he's really disappointed himself in there, but that's, you know, that's by the by. He just needs to go on with it, and there's that many games coming up, he's, you know, we'll just need to go on with it. But the big thing I kept thinking about was we needed to get our fullbacks high, and that's why I switched Kyle with Kieran, because Kieran is better at getting in behind and pushing on, and I thought you know, that worked out better for us in the second half. So I was really, really pleased. Really pleased with Hamish Ritchie. And I thought he was excellent. You can just tell he's a natural football player. He receives the ball lovely. He glides with it a wee bit. He's got a nice touch. Doesn't mind people, you know, being too tight with him and that. He's a strong boy. And he's so unselfish for the goal. He could have hit it himself, you know. And the other great thing is it, you know, Jordan Brown is a boy that we know well, and we know he can be in games and be unnoticed, and then he just pops up with finishes like that. You know, he's such a natural finisher. So it's nice when it works out like that. And Isaac played, what, 80 minutes, which is a club record.
So, did you always feel that one chance was coming, that you were going to get that goal?
You do think you'll get one. If you need to keep putting the ball in the box. You need to keep getting that in there. You know what I mean? If you keep playing down the sides and across, you know, you need to keep putting it in there and you hope eventually something drops for you. And I'm sure it was a miskick clearance that Hamish pounced on, you know. And then he said he slipped it wide. But, you know, I wouldn't, like, if I was loads of negatives, I would say we didn't work the goalkeeper enough, we didn't do well enough with our final pass. But, you know, these boys are so undercooked. You've got to keep reminding yourself in the side that, you know, they're really nowhere near it as far as where they should be. But neither's anybody.
Was it one of them games where the performance didn't really matter? It was just the points at the end of the day?
100%. 100%. For confidence and everything else, you know, playing against a team that's been a bogey team is, playing without players that are key players. So no, it was good. And the big thing was, you could see the difference. They had players getting off injured and we were able to just keep the ball a wee bit and move them a bit. And hopefully we've saved their legs just a wee bit.
Was it the set pieces as well, the corners and things like that, were they a huge disappointment to you as well? Because there's ample opportunities to get the ball in the box and it just didn't either seem to fall to a blue shirt or the quality wasn't great.
The thing is, I think we had to accept at half time that the wind was worse than we can see where you are and where I am, you know what I mean? And there was a wee bit of a problem with that. I mean, we did try to change it to get them to stop it. They had no player in the post and it was offside.
So the shorty, you know, yeah.
And the thing is, we have not got any time to work on. We do a lot of, you know, defensive set pieces, defending them and try to hold lines and all the rest of it. But we set pieces for, it's just a bit impossible, you know. So in the lap of the gods that you can get a good ball played in. And although we've got a good left footer in Conroy, we haven't really got a good right footer as yet, and I think Andy McCarthy might be the one that's best at that. But so, and really between now and the end of the season we're not going to train, you know. So, you know, you just hope for the best.
And your substitutions that you made, were they for precautionary reasons or?
Jordan had a wee bit of tight hammy. Hamish is cup tied on Tuesday, so I made sure that he was going to tire his cell out with 90. Who was it? Naya?
Isaac.
And as I said, Isaac had went way beyond he's normal.
Well, we thought when Ben was coming on, it was how it was coming off. We were quite surprised. Oh, I don't know.
No, it's coming off. Nah. I mean, we had to, you know, you've got to keep your strikers there, especially when you're, you know, dominating possession and stuff like that. So he wasn't just he wasn't chasing the ball as much as even we'd normally do. So, and then obviously I wanted to be guessing on to try and buy his free kicks and stuff like that, which.
So he did well.
Yeah. He eventually done, you know, and you know, I said to him there, I don't pick on you, but you need to go and do what you're good at. I mean, there was one time when he was on, he was in a long one and the ball was played into him two or three times in the box in good areas and he couldn't get rid of it quick enough. Whereas, if you see some of the stuff he does at training, you know, that's when you're wanting to go and do it. And then I just thought, eventually the penny dropped, he started getting some good tackles in, he you know, and then the amount of times he bought his fouls in the corner was brilliant. And that's, you know, that's what it's about, that's what I try to say to him, you do what you're good at and I thought Ben was nice and sharp when he came on. So just keeping Ben fit's the thing, because Ben's a big player for us.
So all in all, a good start to the restart.
Aye, very good, very good.
Okay, Jim, obviously been quite positive there. He mentioned the new guys, Hamish Ritchie and Niall Payne. What did you make of their performances?
Well, both of them gave a really good account of themselves. Jim touched on his interview there. Niall Payne hasn't played football for a very long time. Was it 4 or 5 months, he maybe thinks. So, yeah, you're only going to get limited football out of them for the next couple of weeks just until they get that sort of fitness. But Noah, he looked sharp. He looked well, as sharp as you can be, is what I mean. A couple of good touches. And Hamish Ritchie, I thought he looked very good, very comfortable when he got the ball. Seems like he can pick up a pass as well. And again, go back to the composure that he showed to the pass out to Jordan Brown for the goal. So I think both players can be very pleased with their afternoon's work on Saturday, and it just gives us that, you know, extra couple of players in, because we've struggled certainly with injuries and suspensions this season, and the whole squad will be used, but they look very good players that have come in.
I think Hamish looks as natural as a footballer as you're going to get.
Yeah.
And it just shows you that there are really good players, really decent players kicking around this area and kicking around the Highland League.
Yeah, there's a vast amount of players that you feel in the Highland League and Lowland League that could go on and play, you know, professional football, League 2, League 1 sort of level. There is that quality there. And, you know, Jim's obviously, he was a fan of Hamish Ritchie last year when he saw him play. So, again, it's another one of Jim's signings that he's gotten in, that it's not just bought or signed on a whim. He knows all of them. He's seen him in the last year or so. It's a record of Jim. He just like to know players before he takes them in, knows what he's getting. And for a young man with Hamish, I think he's got a very good future.
Yeah. Obviously, goal scorer was Jordan Brown. We caught up with him as well after the game, so here's his thoughts.
Hey, Jordan, back at Bournemouth and scoring goals again. How does it feel?
Yeah, absolutely delighted. I think, on paper it couldn't have went much better today. Such a tough one. Every game's going to be tough in this league, but I think you come in, you look at the injury lads, suspensions I had, and the boys pulled through, the new boys, like Hamish and that, I thought they were a different class, and it was real team effort, obviously helped by the sending off early on, but sometimes, as we know, that makes it difficult, but we managed to plug away and finally get the goal.
Did that change the mindset for you guys as players in the park, the red card so early on? Does that change how you go about and play?
Slightly, yeah. Obviously the manager took the formation as well, lasted in that 10 position for about 5 minutes, and then I was out left, but yeah, it was just to try and, yeah, of course it does, and I think, especially with the break everyone's had as well, it makes it hard for, probably mentally for them more than us, who were thinking, oh no, you know, 10 men after 5 minutes, so probably the last thing they needed. But yeah, definitely, it almost creates an extra pressure as well, because that's what the manager said at half time. We regrouped at half time and said, look, there's no rush here to go and try and score a goal, you know, take our time, be patient, and a reward will come, and luckily it did.
Did you always think that one opportunity was going to come?
I thought it was, yeah, especially on my side. I think me and Conroy were standing over there. Even first half I was there, but it was hard with the wind. The wind was really, it's a different wind today than it's been in my other 5 years here. The wind was kind of going across, up the way. So I thought first half it was hard for us to get the ball over to the left side. But second half, and I think me and Conroy, I said to Conroy actually after that, I said, are we invisible over here? Because we couldn't get the ball. And then we're just waiting. I think there was one about maybe 5 minutes before I scored, Hamish tried to play, it was a similar ball and it just got caught out. And then, delighted to obviously wait patiently. And I knew there was always going to be a chance in the game, and delighted to take it.
And how pleased are you with the new guys that's come in as well? Because obviously they come in at such a short time, haven't really trained, and they perform quite reasonably well.
Yeah, no, it's great. I think it's been a long time since any of us played football, and I suppose we've all got our personal circumstances as well. Obviously, I've not played a lot. Hamish has not played a lot. Naya's probably never been a Peterhead in his life. So I think they all done well. Excellent, I thought, and it was a real team effort, because when you look at the boys we are missing, you only need to look at that, and it would have been easy to use that as an excuse today, but delighted, absolutely delighted, and like I say, on paper it couldn't have went any better. And I think it's a massive result.
And you, in a personal note, marked the 160th league appearance today with a goal. Did you know that was...
I never appreciate you keeping the count of that for me. I hope there's another 160, but I was thinking this morning how many games I played, and I thought, and it was even surreal, like last night, this morning, I'm thinking, hey, you're going back to football, but I'm also going back to Balmour on the right side on the home side for the first time in over 2.5 years, so it was good, and to be back in that home dressing room, it was brilliant, and then to be back on the pitch, and cliche as it is, the only thing it's missing is the fans, obviously.
I was going to say, that's probably the only downfall. Actually scoring the other day, they'd be here to see it.
Exactly, I think I was running over looking for mum and dad in the stand, and I'm forgetting there was nobody there, but no, on a personal level, it's just months and months of hard work, and through some tough times, and I'm hoping that's not the peak, you know, that'll just be the start to go in for not just me, like I say, the whole team. I think it's a massive result. You see how tight the league is. It's easy to say a couple of results and you go up the way and a couple you go down, but I think it's evident to that. There's going to be a crushed schedule And if you can string results together, you will be pushing up the way, and the same going down the way, looking over your shoulder if you can't pick up results.
How did you find that personal note, you coming back? Was it you got the lats coming through the door at Bournemouth, or did you feel that there was that more pressure because you'd been here before?
Yeah, a wee bit. Again, like I touched on with you a couple of weeks ago, I think coming back a different person, a different player, and more mature, and you see a lot of young boys in the team. I think there's looking around me, and there's probably a lot, especially with the likes of Sain that being injured. So yeah, there's a different feel, but couldn't be more excited, buzzing to be back and being here. And like I say, just the frustrating thing is that it's an empty place at the moment. But yeah, delighted, and I can't wait to be back on Tuesday.
So I say, you're looking at the schedule. Obviously, it's mainly Saturday, Tuesday for the remainder of the season. Are you excited by that, or do you kind of go, oh God, we're never going
to
get a rest?
No, I think it's got to be excited, especially with how long we've had off. And I'm sure the manager's touched on it, saying there to try and. Logistically, training-wise for us isn't ideal. Like, we can only obviously train once a week, really, and we've only had a few sessions in the last few weeks where we've not had a game. So I think the games, and the more games you play, you hope that we'll get better. I think today, I think for the first half, I couldn't find my touch in the first half. But I think it's the same for everyone, you know, and even Airdrie being full-time, like, they'll maybe have a few more sessions than us, but they were stopped as well, effectively. So, yeah, I hope the quality will go up, and we're going to need our squad. We're going to need boys fit and boys willing to run, and I think that's what the manager always drives in, and you've got to do the dirty side of the game, and I think it's going to be more important than ever in the next 6 weeks.
Good to have Jordan back again, and marking his return with a good finish, as we said earlier.
Yeah, he'll be delighted when he's off. Something's working Saturday. Again, he knows the club, so it's, you know, it's not like you're starting something new. I know it's been a few years since he's been here, but his performance on Saturday looked like a man that had never left the place, just slotted into that midfield, looked very assured, very comfortable, and marked off a good performance with the winning goal as well. So, yeah, it's good to have him back, and hopefully he can keep himself fit for the rest of this season and, again, kick on next season as well for us.
And one final thing on Saturday's game, shall we mention our old friend Ian Murray, his antics again on the touchline. I think we mentioned in previous podcasts last season, I think, his disregard for the technical area, or the white lines for the technical area. That was pretty evident again on Saturday.
Yeah, he had strong views on certain things, which... you know, I've criticised not just, we've mentioned Ian Murray, but Montrose as well, and even our own players, they're not exempt from it, but I think some of the abuse that the officials get that you maybe don't hear as much when there's, you know, crowds there. I think referees, whilst they do make mistakes, and same with the linesmen, I think some of the words and choice words used towards officials needs to improve. You know, these guys are in a position to set an example to players and fans that are watching. I don't think it comes across very nice, but no, Ian Murray on Saturday had a few choice words. He wasn't quite keen to stay in these technical areas, which we're accustomed to nowadays. But yeah, I think the language it's used by officials, team officials towards match officials, I think needs to improve across the board, not just from Airdrie, but, you know, our own team as well.
I think it's for me, it's more the disrespect he kind of shows the referees. You know, he constantly was shouting at the referee, Stephen Kirkland was the referee, but he just kept shouting, rather than saying ref or linesman, whatever it was, he just kept shouting, Stephen. Every time the whistle went or there was something that didn't go his way, Stephen. I just find that hugely disrespectful.
Yeah, and for the people that maybe didn't see the game on Saturday, or they're not aware of it, there was an incident just inside the box, perhaps, or maybe just on the edge, that Ian Murray thought was a penalty, and he must have gone on for about a solid minute just shouting, Stephen. So, again, it's maybe one of them things, if you can't get the referee's attention, or he just doesn't want to talk to you, once again, we continue, speak to the linesman and see if he can give you, maybe not the answer you're looking for, but give you an explanation, because I don't think the linesman that was right in front of Jim's dugout is going to give a decision that is the best part of 50, 60 yards away when there's a referee and another official there. So, yeah, poor choice of words that was coming out of by Ian Murray, not just in that incident. There was a few throughout the game that he wasn't happy with. But, again, just as a summarisation, I think the language that's used by players and staff towards match officials could be improved.
for any Alan Partridge fans, it was a bit like Alan Partridge trying to get Dan's attention. it was just a bit like that. He just kept going on and on and on. It was quite comical if it wasn't so such a serious thing.
Yeah, because we've won the game, we found it comical. Had we been losing, that could have been a different different point of view.
So that was the positive. We guess we'll have to talk about the Scottish Cup tie on Tuesday night. People will look at it and think it's maybe a shock result. Obviously, League Two side beating a League One side. In the grand scheme of things, maybe yes, but given Stenhousemuir's record at Balmoor in recent years, it's maybe not too much of a shock.
Well, I think, as you said there, Stenhousemuir's got a very good record against Peterhead, so not a surprise. I just felt the performance was a little bit lackluster, probably, you know, a bit flat as well. I don't know whether the exertion's a Saturday. I know Airdrie were down to 10 men, but you know, it's still mentally and physically a tiring game that they play for 90 minutes and haven't played since 2nd of January, was it, against Cove. So, a long time without football, and they're playing 2 games in 3 days. However, having said that, it was the same for Stenhousemuir. They played Saturday as well. They won their game. They just looked up for it a little bit more. I think that was a frustrating thing. But, yeah, we had a couple of half chances, but, again, nothing really to write home for Stenhousemuir. To give them their credit, were, you know, worthy winners in the game.
And Jim mentioned in the audio there that he was impressed with Darren Kesson, who came on against Airdrie. Started his first game, it was his first start. In fact, he got a full 90 minutes. And Andy McDonald as well, he came in for his first start as well. So those were the two changes. Jordan Brown dropped to the bench and Hamish Ritchie was suspended. So I was maybe thinking there might be one or two more changes, but he just made the two. So Kesson, pleasing to see him getting his first start.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought he came on against Airdrie for the latter part and he had a couple of nice touches, and then he went out on the right hand side and then he went over the left for the last 10 minutes and bought a few fouls and, you know, a lot of things like that was good to see. And again, he started on Tuesday. Again, periods of the game, he looked a handful, looked like he wanted to get involved in the action. He tried to drift inside, or sometimes he's staying in the touchline. And linked up well with Bailey in the first half and then Freeman slightly more in the second half. So, no, it's good by Kesson. Hopefully, it's the start of him maybe getting a couple of games under his belt, because he's, you know, he's sat on the bench for a wee while now. He's waited his time. And if this is his time to shine, then, yeah, so far he's done okay.
But the injury jinx seems to kind of hit again. Captain Scott Brown went off quite early on. In a midfield that has, which is pretty light in terms of experience, when he went off, it just opened up that kind of gap again, where you just think there's nobody in this midfield who's going to now pull the strings or try and get their foothold on the game.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at the midfielders we've got out, obviously Simon suspended, Gary Fraser's out for the season, Jordan Brown is at a slight knock, although he's on the bench, and then you miss Scott as well. It became very apparent when Scott went off that there was a massive gap in midfield, and it sort of played into Stenhousemuir's hands. They allowed players to drift off in midfield, and we're sort of losing it, a wee bit of ball watching as well, which didn't help. But now, as you pointed out in your commentary, that there was a gap with the midfield, and you know, Stenhousemuir took full advantage of it, which is disappointing.
And if we criticise the crossing and the set pieces in the Airdrie game, the Steny game, they were much better, and were actually the better of our chances came from corners and from crosses. The crosses were good. Maybe just not getting anybody on the end of them, but we certainly seem to have improved in, what, 2 or 3 days from the set.
Yeah, it's ironic because on Saturday, any time you got a set piece, you just didn't fancy us to do anything. But on Tuesday night, you fancied that we could maybe get something, because I think there was 2 opportunities for Jason Brown at the back post from corners. I think there was a deep cross in for Ben Armour as well. So, again, it was just we didn't get the rubbing of the green. Having said that, Paddy Martin, both for Stenhousemuir, pulled off a couple of really good saves. So, the balance of play, I don't think we created enough, but the set pieces certainly was a positive to come out of the game.
And it was a poor goal to concede in all aspects of it, not just the way that the goal was created, but prior to that, the wing play by Biabi to beat Kyle Bailey on the right hand side, or Peter Head's right hand side, his left hand side. You look at the whole thing, you'll just think, yeah, there's aspects of that that we could have stopped that from happening.
Yeah, it's almost a chain, isn't it? There's about three or four things that we didn't get right, and it's sort of fallen into the path of Stenishmuir, and they've got their goal for it. But Biabi, he had the beating of Kyle Bailey a few times last night. Frustrating, because I thought Bailey, he has been good defensively. He sort of prides himself on that part of his game that he's hard to get beaten. But last night he struggled. But give Biabi credit, it was his ball across into Blair. Good shot. Again, Josh Ray maybe needs to palm it out wider rather than back to into the where it's come from. And striker, he's you know, it's a calm finish. It's gone under the goalkeeper. Again, he's right in front of goal. It's easy maybe just to be overawed and put it wide, but with his scoring record, I don't think he was ever going to miss.
No, I think if I was a betting man, and I'm there really, if I had looked at the odds before the game, I would have checked out to see if the kind of odds would have gotten for McGuigan to score, because I'm pretty sure they would have been short odds, considering again his goal ratio against Peterhead recently as well.
Yeah, between his ratio and Stenishmuir's record against Peterhead, if you're a betting man, you'd fancy that one and go, and you know they've got a half a chance. But I think they'd more than half a chance, I think, because they look decent. And you know, if that performance last night was sort of an insight into how they're going to play for the rest of the season, you'd fancy Stenishmuir to maybe get the playoffs in League Two.
Yeah, it wasn't just McGuigan as well, but his strike partner Muir, who seemed to be the one that was dropping deep to kind of link between McGuigan in the midfield. And I think as well, you mentioned last night as well, that the centre-half just didn't know how to pick him up, whether they go with him or they stay back, and it just kind of got lost in the shuffle slightly.
Yeah, he kept coming deep, and you know, Jason Brown didn't care whether to try and bide with him and go into midfield and try and win the header, but then was just slightly shorter at the back, or whether Kieran Freeman was going to stand there. But then there is a massive height difference. He wasn't really get a challenge for much in the air against Muir. So no, he causes problems, and I think that three of Biabi as well coming into that mix, it's a good front three for Stenishmuir, and it causes a lot of problems, and it's something that we struggled to deal with over the 90 minutes.
The second half, there was chances created as you'd expect. Probably, and I think you and I mentioned this earlier on in the day, that maybe the chances had fallen to the wrong people. You know, Freeman had an effort from about 20 yards out. It's maybe near his forte to score for long range. And then, obviously, young Danny Strachan had a header from about 8 yards out. Again, it's maybe one of those where he might score in years to come, but you know, given his age and his inexperience, and maybe just he couldn't get himself sorted out, he headed it over.
Yeah, he'd just come on as well, so you know, factoring all that as well, it was a difficult chance for him. I think we had Ben Armour's chance start the second half. He's almost hit it too clean. It's gone straight to the keeper. Again, a good save though from Paddy Martin. We also had Isaac Lane. It was a half chance. I think a confident Isaac Lane from maybe 2 years ago, he'd have scored that. Obviously not for Peter, but for Dumbarton. But again, it's that fine margins. You're looking for your strikers to step up, and last night wasn't to be. Jason Brown had two headers as well. I think Nia Payne, a header. Again, it's just them little things that didn't fall our way, but overall, I don't think we created enough to get the win.
I guess from the positive side of things for Strachan was that a right back was keen to get forward and get himself into that kind of area to miss the opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of them things. He looks like a tall lad, so probably getting on the end of crosses is maybe something that he could be useful for. It was just the timing as well of him coming on and the chance happening so soon as well for him, difficult to get his body adjusted. But yeah, he could be a useful asset, not only defensively, but he looked like he's a full-back that wants to go and attack, which again, it is good for us.
Right, well, again, we spoke to Jim, and we'll get his thoughts about this one as well.
Hugely disappointing. How do you sum that one up?
Disappointing, aye. The result was obviously a poor result. You know, we've lost to a kind of a poor goal to a certain extent. Our goalie's not made many mistakes, but you know, he just spilled that one tonight and it cost us. I felt first half we were flat. Although we could have scored off our set pieces, we missed maybe three good chances for the set pieces tonight. And I just think we needed a goal somewhere along the line just to help us out a wee bit. And then the second half, we played with loads. I thought the first half they played with more enthusiasm than us. But I thought in the second half, our enthusiasm was, you know, it was there. But we just lacked that wee bit of quality, I suppose, you know. We were, again, not clinical enough when we were near the box or we didn't have a good final pass. You know, the goalkeeper said a really good save for Ben. And then really, you know, the last 5 or 10 minutes, they were always going to hit us with counter-attacks because of the way we were pushing on. But, you know, I can't fault them for effort. And, you know, I think it'll take a couple of weeks to ask for more of them performance-wise, but I certainly can't ask any more after them for effort, you know, because they gave us everything they've got. And
is there a bit of a hangover after Saturday? Because a lot of effort went into the game on Saturday.
No, I don't think so. I wouldn't say we had any more of a hangover than they would have done for their game. I just think sometimes if you're missing too many of your key players and kind of a Scott Brown felt his hamstring in a warm-up, and we probably should have just left him. But we didn't have a lot of options on the bench, and Jordan was on the bench with a tight hamstring. So you're then thinking, are you going to get through the game with finishing it with 11 men? So it's just where we are, and, you know, we've obviously got Simon, Hamish, Boydie back in Saturday, but I would think Joel Jordan should be okay for Saturday now. So, listen, that's just the way it's going to be. We just need to get on with it, and you know, the league is paramount. Is that's really what it's all about this season, is making sure that you know, we're there well in the league, and we have got a good opportunity. I think we're only 2 points behind second team or something like that. So we just need to keep going and you hope that some of them run into a bit of form, you know.
Stenny's talking about a bogey team for you, aren't they?
Aye, they have been. That's just the way it is, you know what I mean? I'm you could see how fired up they were, you know what I mean? They were really fired up for it. But I did think in the second half, we matched the enthusiasm. But I always knew the forwards were going to be a handful, because the guys that have played, you know, McGuigan scored goals at this level for years, and I like the boy Tommy Muir. I actually tried to sign him 2 seasons ago, and you know, the boy Biabi's been at Swansea, Hawkirk, good player, and then they're bringing on Spence and the boy Tommy Scotland, you know what I mean? So they're decent players. So it's just one of the things. Our effort was good, you know. I thought Andy McCarthy, for instance, was unbelievable the way he was chasing about, running the park, and doing the job with two or three players at times, you know. So that's it. We need to move on, and that's the thing. We've no choice, you know. It's Saturday, Tuesday. So we just move on.
We also heard from midfielder Andy McCarthy after the game as well, and here's his thoughts.
Andy, disappointing. How do you sum that one up?
I obviously gotten to get beat. You never want to get beaten a game of football, so I nearly got my water. But you never want to get beaten a game of football, so obviously disappointed, and that's not kind of the result you look for. But you just need to take it as it is, and we're just back, and hopefully performances improve, obviously.
So one of those kind of games that on a different night, on a different day, you might have taken one of those chances?
Yeah, I think if you watch a game back, I don't think they had many really chances until obviously the last minute, but that's different, isn't it? And I think probably had quite a few clear cut chances and I'll take you taking you win the game, but I think the goal would be away that's poor off, to be honest. But I also thought the ball went out, but I suppose you need to defend the situation better as well, so that's only an excuse. But yeah, the goal was poor, so one of these nights as well you missed tons of chances and the ball just seems to never go in.
Scott Brown going off injured as well obviously didn't help. How much of a miss was he?
No, obviously you missed playing with Scott, who's obviously built up a partnership with him just playing together, so nah, you miss him when he's off the pitch, and I think everyone about here knows how well he's done for Peterhead and how good a player he is, so yeah, he drives the team on and stuff like that. But yeah, obviously a miss, but it was a chance for another boy to come in and do well, and that's football. But yeah, obviously I think everyone knows that he was a miss, and hopefully he's alright for the weekend.
Have you some of your own performance? I thought you were pretty good given that Scott was missing.
Yeah, well, I think it's just that. I think we're all poor, even if with myself still trying to get the game going and stuff like that. You know, it's like they go in and they try to slow it down, but that's what happens when teams are winning, we do the same. But second half will be a bit better, probably a bit sharper onto the balls, when probably most of the second balls and that, which kind of your job, but still you can obviously do more and improve your performance all the time.
Did you kind of take it on yourself that you needed to be the one to pull the strings in the midfield?
Yeah, but I think that's the way I always try play. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. It's just the way it is. But you try to get that level of consistency, something I've looked for a while. And obviously, my career probably not played as much as what I've hoped sometimes. And starting to get more runs of games where I'm staying fit. And even now, this is probably the fittest I've felt even before the start of the season. So I think it makes a difference. If, like, even after games and Sundays, normally I'm dying, but even after Sunday, I was running Sunday, which I think boys wouldn't believe. So nah, I probably feel fitter than ever. That's why even tonight I could probably keep going, and I wasn't really tiring, but you just need to go for it then, which is the only thing that you are tired after Saturday, but I felt fit tonight, to be fair, so it probably helps me.
It got a bit aggressive towards the end. Did you kind of get involved in one or two things as well?
You got my usual booking, so it'll be my dad will come with. Well, my mum actually, my dad is like, yeah, I'm on about that, but got my usual booking, which is to be expected. But I think I got the ball kicked off my head twice or something, off my body twice in the game, so I got booked for moving a guy over, but that was probably a booking, to be fair. I can moan about it, but yeah, that's football for you. I think obviously that's just happened. When you're getting beat, you're frustrated, and I think I'm as frustrated as anyone. I need to get better sometimes at control, shouting at people and stuff like that, but that's just normal way to win. I think everyone should be the same. They should want to win that much.
Does that frustrate you as a player? Like, you get booked for it, yeah, you've had the bar twice.
Put the ball up. Yeah, I just get frustrated at the ref, to be honest. I'm bad for that. I get preaching at the ref. I think that's probably doesn't help my case when I get a yellow card, no, but obviously it's a bit frustrating when you get the ball booted off you twice and then somebody you actually move somebody out of the way, which you probably just stand and take his time, but it is what it is and I'll deal with it. At least it wasn't a league booking, so me and a boy for Partick are talking about how many bookings he's got. He's on 5 and off, so quite penny, so we're laughing about that. I suppose trying not to get booked as much, but tonight was obviously that kind of game as well where you want to win, so you do anything to get the ball back in that, and then they'll take it slow. You want the game to speed up, so yeah, that's that.
So all in all, is it overly? I know it's disappointing to get knocked out of the cup, but in the grand scheme of things, and particularly this season, it's maybe not just a bad thing to be getting knocked out, Jink.
No, it's not a bad thing at all. I think it's disappointing to go to the cup to a lower league side, but I think the first and foremost thing is to stay in the league this season. I think that's the bread and butter. Maybe slightly, obviously I know it's Kilmarnock in the next round for St Nisbet, and we knew that going into the game last night, but it's not as you would know it. It's not going to be, you know, a good crowd at Balmoore. It's still going to be behind closed doors. So it's maybe one of them. It would have been nice to have gone through, but I think last night would have been, you know, more minutes for the guys. Some of them that's maybe not played, Andy McDonald, you know, he didn't play on Saturday, so he's come in last night, getting game time for them. Yeah, staying in the division is the first and, you know, the most important thing. It would have been nice to have gone through, but I don't think Jim and the guys will lose much sleep over it.
What it does is, it does open up a little bit of a gap in the fixtures, because now instead of playing Saturday, Tuesday, there is a week where it's got to be Saturday, Tuesday again.
Yeah, I mean, that is probably the only benefit really of going out, that you've got that week. Might have been better had we been able to play Saturday, Saturday rather than Tuesday, because also you lose that training session. But you know, the games are coming thick and fast just now. There'll be a little time in between games for a lot of teams, and it's just something that the guys, you know, they were fully aware of that when the restart happened a couple of weeks ago. So it's just something that they'll knuckle down and go on with.
So look ahead then to Dumbarton, and it's the first of what I think is going to be three big games. We've got Dumbarton next, away from home. Then we've got Clyde next Tuesday, and then following that we've got Forfar away from home. So these are the three games I think is going to be crucial for how our season is going to go, because after that we've got Partick Thistle, East Fife and Falkirk.
Yeah, I think the next three really will shape up where we are most likely to finish in the table, whether it be now with a split, whether it's going to be the pushing for that top half, or whether it'll be, you know, cemented in the bottom half. I think, as you mentioned it to me the other day, that advantage of if you do get in the top half, the fear of relegation is no longer there. So that is a massive incentive for the players over the next couple of weeks, that if you can finish in that top five, then, you know, your last couple of games, whilst are still important, you don't want to be scrapping in the bottom half of the table and fearing that relegation.
And the good thing about it is as well, we should have Simon Ferry back from his injury, his suspension, I should say. Stephen Boyd's going to be available as well. So even though there's a potential of Jordan Brown not being fit and Scott Brown not being fit, there's two guys that can come in and still do a relatively good job.
Yeah, I would even throw in the names of Hamish Ritchie, who's going Saturday, and Darren Kesson. You know, he's played a full 90 minutes. Whether he gets to do that again on Saturday remains to be seen, but he certainly put himself in that window to be able to stake a claim for his position.
And obviously after that as well, we've got the crunch game the against our rivals Clyde on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Home again, that should be a 3 points banker, wouldn't it?
I'll remind you of that, depending on what the result may be. But yeah, it's certainly a game that, like you touched on just a minute ago, if we've got aspirations to be in that top group or pushing for playoffs for promotion, then it's certainly a game that we've got to be looking to get the 3 points in. Because obviously Clyde's got a run of fixtures similar to ours in terms of the amount, but they've also got a couple more to get thrown in as well. So, you know, fitness levels of both teams, you've got to take advantage of any small gaps that you can get, and I think that is one of them. The amount of games that they've got to play, we've got to take advantage.
I think I saw on their Twitter feed earlier today that they're going to be playing five away games on the bounce, which obviously isn't going to help. They're also going to be playing the week that they play us. They're going to be playing Saturday, Tuesday, Thursday, then Saturday again.
Yeah, so they've got four games in a week. And, you know, I'm sure, well, they would have been good. They would have known the situation before the restart, but for a club to agree to, you know, that amount of fixtures, we don't know what's going on behind closed doors, but it certainly seems like a tough task for the players and the manager at Clyde.
Yeah, it's a tough one, but I guess having no football for the last sort of few months and how it's been for the last year, like, maybe they're just quite happy just to play and just play football, because that's, at the end of the day, they're footballers and that's all they want to do.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of them's not played really football for a year. Obviously, we got the restart in October and then it was stopped again in December. So these guys just want to play football. Some of them's, you know, lost out in a year. Depending on their age, it's a crucial year to lose out, and they just want to get back playing football. But providing, as I said a couple of weeks ago, that it's done safely, then, you know, I'm all for it.
Yep, so we've got a couple of crucial games coming up, so hopefully this time next week when we record again, we'll have two victories to talk about. Certainly get at least 4 points out of these two games, I think, is going to be crucial.
Yeah, I would literally say so that 4 points, I think, is what we've got to be marking as minimum points return. We'd be delighted to get six, but I think if you get less than 4 points, given the fixture list that we're going to have after that, you know, it would be a disappointment.
Yeah, okay, so that'll do it for this week then. My thanks to Martin for joining me as always, and we'd both like to thank you all for listening. As ever, we'll be back again next week, probably again on a Wednesday night due to the games on the Tuesday. But until then, we'll see you then. Cheers.